What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Draft Talk. And if you're watching this on YouTube, it's been a minute. Good to be back. Happy to have Owen Reese here, assistant O-line coach with Wisconsin Platteville, one of the members of the scouting department over at the Shrine Bowl. Owen, how you doing, man? It's been a minute.
Good, man. Yeah, we kind of missed out. Unfortunately, our paths didn't cross in Indy for the combine, but
yeah,
always good to talk draft, talk Packers, and coming off, we're still feeling pretty good. We set the record for most Shrine Bowl draft picks ever in a year.
Yeah.
So happy about that. Feel pretty good about Green Bay's draft as well. So all things
going. Yeah. Well, let's promote the Shrine Bowl just right out the gate while we have it. Like, who's the guy, or if you have two guys, couple guys out of the Shrine Bowl that you're just really excited where they landed?
Super excited. Also typically lend toward the offensive line, but Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State ended up to Pittsburgh in the fourth round. Like, come on. Just one of the most athletic guards of all time per RAS. Played like 60 starts at South Dakota State. He played there for 6 years. Goes there with Troy Fautanu and Zach Frazier in the same class. Like, you want to talk about Pittsburgh getting back to being the Steelers again, right?
Like, yeah, for real.
For that like late Roethlisberger run in the last few years, they've kind of been like pretend poser Pittsburgh. Like, they still wear the black and yellow, but they're not really like this. Like, no, like, they're getting back to being like the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he was a big one. Detroit got Christian Mahogany in like the sixth round, which is a guy I was when Christian was a sophomore at BC and playing with Zion Johnson and all that group there. It was really impressive. Alec Lindstrom. He was like a sophomore playing with four seniors, and everyone's like, this guy's going to be the real deal. I don't think Christian was ever that level of athlete, but an absolute people mover in the run game.
Yeah.
And tore his ACL in 23, right? Or 22, excuse me. So came back this year and finished strong. I was really happy with where he went. I couldn't believe Malik Washington went as late as he did.
I know. I was floored.
And I get, like, he's not big and he's probably a slot only, but, like, led the country in catches, was part of a national championship 4x1 team in high school, like, plays bigger than 5'8 for sure. And then probably the other one, honestly, like, not – like, the New York Jets had two. One, like, I think Jordan Travis, if he's, like – picking a perfect place to go, basically learn how to be Tyrod Taylor, right? Like, that's realistically, that's a good spot. You're going to be in the quarterback room with A-Rod and Tyrod. Like, that's a lot of knowledge to be gleaned there for a guy who will probably never have the physical, like, elite level physical skills. And then Quantes Stiggers was a corner that ended up going to the Jets as well. I believe he was the last pick in the fifth round. Kind of a crazy story if you guys aren't familiar. Signed with Lane College, a Division II school in Tennessee out of high school. He's like the oldest of like nine siblings. Went there fall of 2020, so no football. Dad passed away in like a car accident that fall, dropped out of school, ended up in the fan-controlled football league, had like four picks in a game, ends up going to the CFL, is the defensive rookie of the year in the CFL, and so really excited for him. But a weird thing, though, because even though he had played professional football already, he had to go through the draft because he never played college.
Yeah.
So kind of an odd situation there. But just a few of our guys. Like I said, we had 57 drafted. There are probably 10 to 15. I was very, very surprised to not end up getting picked, realistically. But, no, a great year for us. And, obviously, the more picks for us is all good and well. But, obviously, the more success our game has, the more money and more donations and exposure Shriners Children's Hospital gets, which is realistically the real reason that the game happens. And seeing those kids throughout the week and their interactions with the players is really cool. So that's kind of, like I said, happy the on-field football product is obviously my contribution to it. I'm happy that's doing well, but the better that does, the better we do overall for the hospital, which is the main point.
Trying to get that out there. If I wasn't buying a house this year, I would have been out there to see you guys.
We'll be in Frisco. We signed an extension. We're in Frisco for the next few years. Practice at the Star. It's an incredible facility. Super blessed to be there, and everything was awesome this year and looking forward to it.
Well, obviously just so happy for your guys' success. You guys are all really good dudes as well. So just can't wait to see what happens next year. Let's go ahead and pivot to the Packers draft. I imagine that's why a lot of people are here listening to this. Pretty surprised, honestly, by that first round pick in Jordan Morgan. I was kind of wanting Graham Barton, and before we even just get into Morgan and that debate, I just wanted to ask you about your thoughts about the class as a whole.
Yeah. So I'm admittedly, like, I try to be a bit more, and I think you know this as well. Like, I try to remove most of my fandom. Obviously I cheer for the Packers and I want them to win. But like, I trying to get into scouting, right? So I try to have a different lens. I try not to just be the just a pure fandom side of it. And I think the big lesson, we'll get to this, will be an overarching thing, but like the draft itself I thought was awesome. A couple picks here and there, which or whatever, we'll talk about that. But I think the big lesson is to, like, we can't get locked in on guys, right? Like, I was even talking, I texted this name drop, but I was texting one of the Packers scouts a couple weeks before the draft, and I was like, yeah, like, you guys are in a really good spot for, I remember I said, like, Tyler Newbin or Graham Barton, right? Like, one of those, and he's like, don't get too, he's like, there are a lot of good football players. He's like, don't get too, don't lock in on one guy. That's not how this works. And
I may have been guilty of that on draft night just a little bit. But same thing. Yeah.
Obviously, Graham Barton goes one pick after the Packers. Yeah. Like, ah, so close, right? But, you know, I've heard a lot of this. This will be a small soapbox and I'll be done. Listened to a lot of podcasts over the last few days, a lot of conversations about the consensus board that our friend Arif Hassan does, which I think is a valuable resource. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice and a bit of a fool's errand if you use that. And I understand it is consensus, but like, when we refer to teams' decisions based off of the consensus board, because every NFL team has their own board. So like what the Packers may have, and then trying to refer to what 32 media members have or however many are in the consensus board, it truly is like apples to oranges. So you can't get into that too much. Obviously every team, whether they have guys off their board due to character or injuries or skill fit or whatever the case may be. So all that to be said, realistically, like, I feel like the Jordan Morgan pick probably like was fairly obvious, or like the possibility of him being the pick was fairly obvious, but lot of us kind of got blinded just by either personal bias or preference or whatever the case may be, positional, right? So overall, like, I'm a pretty big fan of the pick. I'm not going to sit here and like trumpet that he's going to be some Pro Bowl player or anything. You know, obviously that's so to be seen, but I mean, he's 6'6", 315, good athlete, played left tackle, you know, like above average pass pro, has the athleticism they're looking for in the run game. You know, like at that point you're like, well, like why? Yeah. Like why not? You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's, he checks all the boxes. He just wasn't, you know, wasn't the guy that maybe the Packers or I especially had zoned in on as maybe the guy. And so to his credit, Ross Uglum asked me, it was Jordan Morgan, Graham Barton, or can't remember who the third one was on another podcast. And I basically said, like, Jordan Morgan was my highest graded offensive tackle in cross checks last summer. That wasn't Olu or, you know, Alt or whatever. Yeah. And in which those guys weren't seniors, so we didn't even look at him anyways. But I was like, I'll go with Barton because I scout the ACC and I feel most comfortable with him. Right. Like, so even my own personal, like, agenda, basically. And so that's all that to be said. I like the Jordan Morgan pick. It makes a ton of, it probably makes a lot more sense than we realized at the time. Yeah. And like I said, like when you're picking late in the first round, you're taking guys you feel pretty good about that are doubles that you might be able to stretch into a triple if it hits the gap. Right. So like if they were going to go offensive lineman, Jordan Morgan makes a ton of sense. And I really don't have anything bad to say about the pick.
Well, yeah. So since you're obviously the OL expert, you know, assistant O-line coach, you know, you do a little scouting. Why don't we just go ahead and start with Morgan? We can talk about, and you know, a little more briefly, the other Packers O-line picks. But what did you like about him on tape? What are some of your concerns? And then I got, you know, more of a positional question after that.
Yeah. So I think, right, if you think Green Bay Packers offensive linemen, right, typically they tend towards better athletes, which may seem more obvious, but in we'll see the longer that Jordan Love's career goes on, but especially with Aaron Rodgers, right? The propensity to extend the play, the ability to freelance a bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the Packers have left their tackles on islands. And I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback looking to escape, right? Like these bigger, I dare say, thicker, more monstrous sized tackles, right? Guys like Orlando Brown or Trent Brown or Daniel Falele or some of just the more recent examples of it. Like typically in pass pro, they're just going to underset everything, right? Or for those unfamiliar with the term, like they're going to just play inside out on everything because they've always got their like sheer size to fall back on as far as their simply put, like their frame and body mass creates a longer edge, right? And so the big issue with guys in space that are less athletic is that you give the defender two different options, right? But if you play, and as an offensive line coach, that's coaching at the Division III level, so not coaching world-class athletes. We always try to, like, just as a general premise, right? Like, we do have some guys that are more athletic, but
yeah,
I was like, we always use the terminology, like, dictate the rush, right? Like, play inside out, underset everything, because then you take away one of their options from the jump. They have to play the other one. And then if they decide they want to come back to that original option, you've already kind of got it covered, or at the very least, you're in a better position to handle it. And yeah, that's where those bigger guys kind of play a specific way. Orlando Brown maybe is the only one that, and he's kind of done some stuff like on an island, but you need guys that can block with their feet, right? Like, that's the biggest thing. And so the Packers have had guys like Bakhtiari, right, who is 3'10", right, and 6'4 and a half and 3'10", or Brian Bulaga at 6'5 and 3'11 or whatever he was, right? But, like, have the ability to block people with their feet, yeah, out in space, as opposed to just using their size as a way to kind of give themselves a crutch on the inside and just kind of make everyone run around, right? Mm-hmm. So when you don't know where your quarterback's necessarily going to be, like, winding up from, having that ability to freelance and having that ability to kind of play off script as an offensive lineman is a huge deal, right? So that athleticism comes back to that in pass pro, and I think Morgan has that. I think especially well, like, considering coming off the ACL at the end of 22, right? And yeah, you can tell, especially later in the year, like, he started to really, really move really well again. And so I think whether he ends up inside or not with Green Bay, notwithstanding, I think that that foundation as a pass protector, as an athlete, is a huge part of what attracted him to Green Bay to him. That being said, also in the run game, right? Just the ability of the Packers being a wide zone based team, that's their base bread and butter run play, right? So, like, the ability as a backside tackle to go maybe reach like a 20 tech backer that hasn't completely committed to scraping yet, like, that's a huge deal. And trying to get that defense going in one direction so the back can cut it back against the grain and kind of use that inertia against the defense. Morgan's very rarely going to be like that far behind guys, which is a huge deal, right? Like, you mm-hmm. want to be able to at least cover up or get to the back shoulder and allow that back the ability to make their blockers right. And so he's not the biggest, like, displacer. He's not going to absolutely maul people in the run game. He's not a slouch, right? I'm not going to say he's a finesse player by any means, but that's not his game, right? His game is on the move, be an athlete, and kind of play in space, play at the second level, get to linebackers, as opposed to truly just trying to dig dudes out and physically displace other human beings against their will. That's not his deal. Truthfully, that's not really the Packers' deal either.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that I think makes a lot of sense. There are some things in pass pro. You can tell there was a couple times he got by Braylon Trice. You know, just some little things as far as continuing to improve as far as playing in space and different technical stuff. But as far as the foundation goes, from everything that they've said in press conferences, he's a great kid, really high floor as a human being, going to be a good fit in the locker room, fit in the O-line room, which can be an odd place to be completely fair, right? But, like, certain rooms, right? Like, if a guy can't take a joke and that's kind of how the room is, like, they might get chewed up and spit out pretty quick, right? So the personality fits a huge deal there too, and it sounds like they're really comfortable with that. And then, again, when you just pair the pure athleticism and basically being a dancing bear out there at 6'5", 315, and can really run around and move, it creates a high ceiling. And then when you consider that the kid's already been really good, that you feel better about that floor as well. As something to maybe juxtapose with, like, Amarius Mims, and not to knock on Mims, but the guy has 8 career starts.
Yep.
Right? And so it's like, if you consider all things equal, right, like, Amarius Mims is as much of a boom or bust player in this draft as there is. I feel like Jordan Morgan's a much more sure thing. And when you're picking late in the first round, right, that's a bigger deal than you'd think.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. My biggest question with Morgan, and maybe why I didn't have him ranked as high as some of these other guys, was his anchor. And I guess, since you're the expert on this, you know, strategy or this topic, with his anchor, are you more concerned about the technique? It feels like he's leaving his chest exposed maybe a little too often, or is it just that he needs to get stronger?
I mean, being a 5-year college guy, like, I would sure hope it's not the weight room thing. I mean, like, there's a little bit of that, you know, like, you can continue to improve at the NFL level, but being at a Power 5 program for 4 to 5 years, I lend myself to believe that he'll be taught and coached to put himself in less positions to be bull rushed, right? Like, one of the best ways to do that, right? And we're in the middle of spring practices right now here, and at the risk of sounding salty against D-line guys, right? Like, the best way to stop a bull rush is to jump set him, you know? And it's like I said, like in one-on-one pass rush, that's not what the drill is for, but like, as far as, you know, like, especially if you feel confident about your feet and your athleticism, right? Like, if you can jump set someone and not immediately lose, you basically win, right? Because like, if that's your biggest concern with Morgan is like, yeah, like he's just going to get bowled, then don't allow the defender to like build up momentum, you know, like don't let the
train. Yeah, because that gives him less grounds to actually translate speed to power. Yeah.
And, like, the other thing too is when you jump set guys, right, and they're going to probably take it as a run block first.
Yep.
Right. So then they have to transition mid rep from I have to keep the edge to, oh, actually now I have to like transition into a pass rush move and stuff. So I'd be curious to see. It would be more concerning to me if it was a pure strength thing, because I don't, admittedly, like, I haven't been in an NFL organization. I don't know how much true room for growth there is, like, strength wise with linemen. Like, I'd be lying if I tried to give some really detailed answer, but like, I feel better about an NFL offensive line coach's ability to coach a guy to put himself in less positions to get bull rushed, as opposed to a sheer inability to handle it as a physical player.
Cool. Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst said that they're going to start him off at left tackle. You know, see what happens there. Do you think that is where he ends up starting? And, you know, whether you do or don't, what do you think that the Packers 5 looks like on week one?
I think long-term, that's probably where he ends up. And obviously, some of that will have to do with how well Rashid Walker plays and continues to do, what that competition looks like, what they end up doing with Zach Tom. Who knows what the final five will end up looking like. I still realistically feel like that was a bit of a lip service. I still can't. I feel like that's pretty rocking the boat. To take your above-average right tackle and simply just move them without necessarily, like, and you just lost Yosh Nijman, and the other tackles on the roster prior to Jordan Morgan are like Luke Tenuta, Kadeem Telfort, and Caleb Jones, which one, two of those guys are Shrine Bowl guys, shout out. But two, like,
Shrineman, baby.
Out of the three of those guys, like, you have, I mean, maybe 10 snaps in a game, right? So, like, I still feel like Zach Tom will be the right tackle. That maybe whether that was a true threat to Josh Myers to pick it up, or if that was a legitimate, like, why not just see what we have here and we can try to move it around. But I would assume early on the starting five will likely be Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, and Tom. And then you see from there, like I said, maybe Josh Myers really is struggling and they move Tom to center and they move Rashid Walker to right tackle, or they move Jordan Morgan to right, whatever the case is, however they want to try to finesse that. I think in the NFL, you're doing yourself a misfortune if you're not putting your best five guys on the field, right? Like, just simply,
yeah.
Realistically, most of the weeks, you're probably going to play a defensive line that's more talented than your offensive linemen. So, like, if you're really not giving yourself the best chance to prevent those guys from to get after your quarterback. But it's – I don't know if it's the right thing to try to, like, force Morgan into the lineup just because he's a – at least from our lens, just because he's a first-round pick, right? Like And so I think at least initially, I think that's probably like, and for an offensive line, a position where continuity is so important, obviously I'm not going to like not play good players because I don't want like Zach Tom to have a different double team continuity on combo blocks with Sean Ryan or Jordan Morgan. But like, unless Jordan Morgan comes in and is like overtly better, I think you'll continue to ease him in. And we've seen the Packers have been willing to do this. Maybe they rotate Walker and Morgan every two or three series or every third series Jordan Morgan gets, just to get his feet wet a little bit and build that confidence and whatever the case may be. And the other thing too, and important to kind of remember, like, the NFL injury rate's 100%, man. Like, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get banged up. Whether or not you miss games, like, you may start the game, but then play three series and you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You need a dependable sixth, seventh, eighth guy. And so whether or not Jordan Morgan is truly a starter or not early, I think you're selling yourself short if you don't think that he's going to be dependent on at some point. And so the quicker you can acclimate him, the better. And if that's kind of giving him nibbles of playing time here and there, I think that's a good way to go about it.
I feel like the Packers do some unique stuff with their offensive line. And the way you're describing this, because we saw it with Bakhtiari last year, you know, we saw it with that Runyon Ryan, it almost feels like they're treating it like an NBA rotation with minutes, except they're doing it with drives. And I'm curious to see if that's a trend that continues. You know, I imagine neither of us are going to have the answers on that. But let's take a look at the other offensive linemen they pick, because, you know, we can just wrap up with that. Jacob Monk was probably the most interesting name, obviously the next earliest drafted offensive lineman. Center out of Duke, looks like he played guard and tackle, had a ton of starts. It's funny that, you know, for all the Packers fans, including myself, clamoring for Graham Barton, they still get another athletic Duke offensive lineman. And from what we had talked about before recording, it sounds like you know a little bit about him.
Yeah, so Jacob Monk's a guy that just through prep of the Shrine Bowl, I was familiar with. I do the ACC for the game, and just going through some guys last spring, I was like, okay, like, Jacob Monk has started 47 games. He's played center. He's played guard. And just watching the film, I was like, he's a better athlete than you'd think. I know, like, heading into this year, he had already been a captain last year, was coming back. And I had taken a bit of a special interest with Duke because I had a feeling like they might be kind of good, right? Like, they were starting to build some momentum that first year under Mike Elko, and Riley Leonard's obviously at Notre Dame now. But I was like, they have a legit quarterback. Jalen Calhoun ended up going undrafted, but a receiver that's legit. And, you know, and they had some of the defensive guys, Dwayne Carter. And a guy you'll hear about next year, Jalen Stinson's a nickel who's going to be really feisty. And so, like, I knew they had the potential to kind of be decent, and took some extra time. And yeah, like, Jacob Monk's a guy who primarily played right guard for them. And I like, admittedly, I knew who Jake Monk was. I would be lying if I told you that I expected him to get drafted. And that's not a knock against Jake Monk. It's just simply there's so many dudes, and typically, like, I mean, kind of surprisingly, like, wasn't really involved in the All-Star circuit and whatever else, but that's a credit to, and Mike Owen is the Packers Northeast scout. He has the North Carolina area along with, and they mentioned it, that, you know, multiple scouts were very adamant that they wanted Jacob Monk. But that goes back to the importance of those area scouts and Mike Owen doing his work. And Mike Owen's a guy who was really high on Dontavian Wicks as a junior, right? Like, and guys going back and, like, those trusted guys, and you get the character, he's a captain, you know, he's going to be smart. He's at Duke, right? Like, all that. Yeah. But then he's also a good athlete and has played a bunch of spots. And so I'd be lying if I told you that I was anticipating the Packers trading up in the fifth round to draft Jacob Monk. Mm-hmm. But I mean, realistically, and I'll say this as, like, a whole, as a draft class, like, some of the guys you started to see go early in day three, and, like, this is going to sound like a knock on the draft class, and I don't really intend it to be, but this is going to be one of the thinnest draft classes in a while because of this upcoming year being the last year for all the incoming COVID kids, right? Like,
yep.
The fall of 2020 was when all of that extra year of eligibility started. And this upcoming year will be that big year, right? Where, like, everyone has the extra year. And so, yep. You know, this class was a bit thinner. And so when you get guys, like I said, and this was one of the smaller classes, and we're like, okay, like, this is really drafting undrafted free agents and middle of the fifth on, which isn't bad. Like, I'm not saying that there weren't guys that were drafted later than that or before that weren't good or whatever, but just the matter of the fact of, like, we're going to, like, the variety of these picks is going to start to go now because
we're
really kind of, like, it just, there isn't that major pool to pick from. And so Jacob Monk's a guy, and again, that's not a knock on Jacob Monk's, just simply wasn't a very thoroughly vetted prospect by the media. And so Monk's a guy, again, tested well, intelligent, smart, high character guy. He's going to get fit in. And so, obviously, like, with the attention that Graham Barton got, right, like, you're going to go into Duke, and Duke's going to be like, yeah, like, Graham's our guy, but you should really look at Jacob Monk too, right? And he checks the boxes for the pack. And one of those things, like, although he wasn't a guy that everyone was all in on, like, once you get the full picture, you're like, this makes a lot of sense, right? Like, there's no, like, oh, yeah, like, this guy just wildly deviates from Packers' tendencies. He doesn't. He really hits them all. He just wasn't, like, a super highly regarded guy. And so, and again, in the fifth round, they talk about he's got the ability to play center and guard. He's a good athlete, creates competition in the room, improves the depth for a team, for a room that has lost, right? Lost Yo Schneiman, lost John Runyon Jr., lost David Bakhtiari. And no, those aren't all just guards or centers or tackles, but, like, you got to continue to build depth in the room. The second you allow that to become stagnant, you're falling behind, right? So, Jacob Monk's a guy again, like, better athlete than you'd think. A little squattier. Will probably play center. Probably really should play center in the NFL.
Okay.
But again, checks all the boxes and fits everything. And like I said, if you would have told me that Jacob Monk got drafted, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But that wasn't a knock on him. Just wasn't yeah. one of the higher rated guys. But again, like, makes a lot of sense.
This is why we bring you on, Owen. Like, who else is actually providing in-depth analysis on Jacob Monk, sure. the fifth-round guy out of Duke?
I don't know if that's the flex that you make it sound to be, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
No, yeah, I enjoy it. I get excited about the offensive linemen. I mean, I watch a crap ton. Sometimes Archon and over APC really twist my arm to make sure I am. And I'll complain about it, but I'll always enjoy it once I start diving into it. Now, there is one other guy. I know it might be putting you on the spot. I have no idea if you've watched him. Travis Glover out of Georgia State. The only thing I can tell you about him is the one picture I saw from him before I started watching a little tape, which is barely any, is just like, holy crap, that's a large human, and it looks like he has freakishly long arms. Arm length measurement wise was good. It wasn't crazy, but he just looks like a large, long human.
He's a large man. Yeah. So so Travis Glover was at the Hula Bowl, and part of our process, to be completely frank, is at the Shrine Bowl, we usually end up picking quite a few Hula Bowl guys up, just because we'll get our initial round of invites out, and then whether guys get hurt or they choose to not participate or whatever the case may be, get picked to a different All-Star game, whatever. And so Travis Glover was a guy who was at the Hula Bowl, and we watched kind of in that interim period. Once the Hula Bowl put the roster out, honestly, like, we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't go and watch their guys
sure,
and see who's maybe worthy, right? Whether it's an alternate guy or whether they just outright deserve a spot at the game, whatever the deal is. And so we watched Travis Glover. He was a guy that at Georgia State is a huge man at left tackle. I don't want to say I wasn't high on him, because I think he would have fitted our game pretty well. And obviously went to the Senior Bowl and played really well. Like, that's good. He was a guy, I probably see him as like the least fit. I know he tested well, and obviously, like, I will watch Travis Glover soon. I have not watched extensively.
Same.
To me, he's a bit more of a gap type guy. I think he will play guard with Green Bay. I don't think he'll play tackle. I'll be curious to see, but yeah, he's a huge dude. Better athlete than you'd think, right? Like, off the hoof, like, that dude comes off the bus. I was like, oh, he's just going to be a plotter, mauler. And really can kind of move a little bit, decent in pass pro, but he's a guy, that I think he'll end up slotting in at guard, and is really, like, on the big side of, like, the Packers, like, tendencies. Like, he is about as big of a guy as they have drafted on the offensive line in a while. And so, played left tackle at Georgia State. I assume he'll move inside. But, again, just when you're that late, like, that late in the round, right, like, that late in the draft.
Yeah.
Good athlete, big dude, take a swing, right? And again, like, I don't want that to sound like that sounds very trivial and sounds very, like, oversimplified, but, like, adding quality depth to that room matters, right? Like, maybe more than anything, because
100%,
especially now too, like, in this era of, like, extended practice squads, you, like, there's more dudes that you're at risk of, like, getting poached at any given week, because now obviously other teams have more guys too, but, like, if, you know, some team loses three offensive linemen in a week, like, I guarantee you they don't have three linemen on the practice squad that they feel confident, like, to go, like, play major minutes. And the other thing too is, like, well, like, now we got to replace those three guys to replace the three guys, right? And so, like, continually having bodies at the position and churning them, putting them into your kind of development, right, for lack of a better term, like, get them in the farm system, get them some at-bats, like, let them play, let them do stuff. And, like, Caleb Jones, Kadeem Telfort, Luke Tenuta, some of those guys have been there for quite a while, and they may find their time coming up here soon, or they may get out recruited, right? Like, they may get, like, out competing, like, but that's just the nature of the beast a little bit. But you can't just say, like, if you're in the Packers, you're doing yourselves a disservice to just say, like, well, we've been developing these guys for a couple of years, so we just feel good with the room. Like, no, that's not how it works, right? Like, because if they're as good as you think they are, they're going to beat out the guys that you bring in. And if they don't, well, then that sucks for them, but like then the guys that you're bringing in are good then too, right? Like, so it's a bit of a double-edged sword. It's just unfortunately a bit of the dark side of the business from a person's standpoint. But yeah, so I mean, like, I will have more in-depth thoughts. This is terrible podcasting for your podcast.
It's fine.
I will have more in-depth thoughts on Travis Glover in the next couple of days. But again, it makes sense. Huge dude, decent athlete, tools galore, right? Like, perfect guy to take a bet on and swing on
with
one of your day three picks.
I mean, listen, heard the name, saw one picture of him, and it's the sixth. Like, what's the pick? 202. Like, we're looking at the 202nd pick. You just show me a picture of the guy, and I was like, yep, cool. That works for me. That guy is huge. We'll see what happens.
Now, and also, I don't want to jump the ship here. Also, two undrafted free agents that I feel pretty decent about have a chance to push for time, too.
Is one of them Donovan Jennings?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about him?
Donovan Jennings, what a great young man. Was at the Shrine Bowl. Honestly, one of the favorite kids we had down there. We were going to invite Donovan in 23. He broke his foot or broke his leg against Louisville.
Damn.
Geez. And this year, if you want to go watch one, if you're like, Owen, Tyler, I have a life, I have a family, why, like, just give me something to do. Like, I'm not going to go watch Donovan Jennings' film. Watch South Florida against Alabama this year. One of the best films of any player against any team in this draft. Donovan Jennings shut down Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell, who just went in the first and second round. I think he probably plays guard for Green Bay with full transparency, but he's a dude. He's a good pass protector. He's long. He's played a ton of football, right? And he fits all the Packers boxes, college left tackle, good athlete. And I think he's a guy that, again, in 2 to 3 years, he may be a, well, the Packers, we got to add some competition to the room. They've been developing Donovan Jennings and Trent Jones for a while, but we got to keep churning through, right? Like, that's going to be the new thing. Trent Jones from Michigan, another guy that was at the Shrine Bowl, who they signed as an undrafted free agent, had 9 career starts at Michigan, but played in games in 5 different seasons at all 5 different spots along the offensive line, really was Michigan's 6th guy. They had Carson Barnhart, who got signed by the Chargers, I believe. But he and Trent Jones were like, the two guys that, like, wherever you need us to play, we will find it, right? Like, you may have had a backup right tackle, and Jones may be the backup left guard. But, like, he's going to play right tackle before the backup right tackle does, type of thing. And, like, those guys are tough to get rid of because they make everything, like, just a glue guy that can fit into any situation. Jones may play center, he may play guard, whatever the case is, but like, he's a guy that I have a feeling is going to be peskier to get rid of than that people may like or may think.
Cool. I'd heard some good things about Jennings, but I'm glad you also brought up Trent Jones. Owen, appreciate you coming on, man. Like, this is the first episode back on the YouTube, so best person I can think of to talk offensive line. So if you are listening on the YouTube, also make sure you subscribe to Frozen Tundra Frequencies wherever you listen to podcasts. And then if you're listening on FTF, you can check out the YouTube at Tyler D. Brook, I believe. It's been a minute. It's been a long time since I've had this. But, Owen, thanks so much for coming on, man. Good chat.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. And glad you guys have are back up and running with Frozen Tender Frequencies. It's good stuff. And obviously always want to see the Packers sphere doing well and healthy. And so I'm glad you guys are back up and running and excited to see what you guys have in store.
Awesome. Appreciate you, man. Well, we'll see you next week. If you're listening on the YouTube, I think we're steering a little bit. We have a Patriots guy on to talk about the Patriots draft. So see you next week. Go Pack, go.